Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 8. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. And verse 36, John chapter 8 and verse 36. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ: "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And our subject this morning is true freedom. True freedom. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of, true freedom. These words in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. And those of you who are regular with us will recall that we were in this chapter not so long ago, and we focused on the events right at the very beginning of this chapter, which was the account of the woman caught in adultery, and how she was saved from being stoned when the Lord Jesus knelt on the ground and wrote those words that convicted the scribes and the Pharisees of their own sin. And they left the scene because the Lord said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And well, all of the scribes, all of the Pharisees, there was sin in them. So they left the scene, and the woman was left alone with the Lord Jesus Christ, and her sin was forgiven. And well, that event, that account, very wonderfully communicated to us the gospel message, how there is plenteous mercy with the Lord, how there is amazing grace, how there is no condemnation, no condemnation for those who trust in Christ. What is unforgivable in the eyes of men is forgivable with God. That was the great message of that wonderful passage at the very beginning of chapter 8. But of course, we must look to the Lord, and we must trust in the Lord, and we trust that many of us will do that this morning, if you have not already. But in the rest of chapter 8, well, there is so much more in this chapter. It is a wonderful chapter. We read much of the Lord's teaching, how he taught in the temple in Jerusalem. And one of the things, of course, that the Lord Jesus taught was that he was not simply a man. He was a man, of course. He was a true man, a true historical figure. But he was more than just a man. And I just very briefly touch on these things because very often we are asked the question, where does the Lord say that he is more than a man? Where does the Lord say that he is God? We are very often asked this question by people. So I just briefly touch on certain verses. Well, verse 23, for example, you could go to in chapter 8. "And he," the Lord, "said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." Now, that doesn't sound like just a man speaking. He's from above, we are all from beneath. "Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." This is speaking of his divinity, of his deity. He's not just a man, of course not. These words speak something greater than that. And then you could even go to verse 42. "Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." These are not the words of a mere man. No man would say this, "I proceeded forth and came from God." He says this because he is the Son of God. And so when people ask us these questions, we don't get confused and scared. We just turn to passages such as these and we answer them very calmly. And then if you want another example, verse 56, right at the very end of the chapter, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So Abraham, remember, he rejoiced in the promise of a Messiah. The Messiah has come, and this is the day of the Messiah. But then the Jews said to him in verse 57, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And that, of course, was the name that that the Lord said of himself when Moses in the burning bush, you will know these accounts very well, he said to the Lord who appeared to him in the burning bush, "Who will I say has sent me? Who will I say has sent me to set the captives free? Say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." And the Lord, he is using that same title. And the Jews knew this because verse 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at him." Why are they taking up stones if he's not claiming to be God? They know that he's claiming to be equal with God. That's why they want to stone him. This is blasphemy, ordinarily speaking. But of course, it's not blasphemy with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is speaking the truth. So I shouldn't really have spent as much time on that. But just to make it very clear to you, if you're in any doubt, this is the Son of God. He is equal with the Father. And well, it does us well to remember these things even at the very start of our time. But I'm supposed to be focusing on verse 36. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." What a wondrous and joyous thought for us this morning. Let us just spend a few moments thinking upon what this means. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to do what? Well, to set us free. He is a liberator. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe there are people here have very different opinions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a liberator. He has come to set us free. In so many of the prophecies, Isaiah 61, for example, we read that the Messiah, he will proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He has come to set us free. In fact, well, I mentioned Moses earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is, in a sense, the fulfillment of Moses. Moses said that after him, there would be one who would come who would be like him. And what did Moses do? He led his people out of slavery into freedom, out of bondage into freedom. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He leads his people, all those who trust in him, out of slavery into freedom. This is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's not an oppressor. He's not somebody who is going to oppress you in any wicked and evil sense. He is our Savior. He is our liberator. But of course, if you ask the majority of people about freedom and their idea of freedom, well, they will not think about the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not make mention of the Christian faith at all. The world around us will say exactly what I have just said. They think that the Christian faith, that to believe in Christ is oppression. And if you trust in Christ, if you trust in any religion even, you're shackled. You're shackled to their religion. That's what the world thinks. But what a great contrast we have here in these words. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." It's the opposite of what the world thinks. The world thinks that Christianity is oppression and slavery. The Bible says this is true freedom. And this is what I intend to persuade you of this morning. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So it implies, of course, that without Christ, if you don't have Christ, you are not free. That's the implication of the verse. Without Christ, you are not free. You may think that you are free, but it is, in a great sense, an illusion. You are not actually free at all. And this is the great tragedy of so many, particularly in this age. They think they are free, but they are not. We could speak at great length about this. There are all kinds of things that control us in this world and limit us in this life, and we don't even realize it. We don't ever really do what we want to do. We're not fully free. There are so many things. You look back through history and you see, well, there are only very, very few times when man could ever talk about freedom. In fact, the worst enemy of freedom is man himself. You know, man, down throughout history, even perhaps from the dawn of time, has always sought to control other men and to enslave other men. Slavery has been in the world throughout all history, and not just in modern times. The Egyptians, well, we know in the Bible they had slaves. The Assyrians had slaves. The Babylonians had slaves. The Greeks had slaves. The Romans had slaves. There's been slavery down throughout the history of time. And so people have very rarely been free. Societies in which people are free, that's rare. You have dictatorships in more modern times, governments trying to control whole nations. You can even talk about people in the workplace. I don't know about you, but when I was working in the secular world, well, it seemed very much like slavery. It was your boss who ruled your life. You couldn't leave your office without your boss telling you that it was okay. You're not really free to do anything that you really want to do. All of these things, we have an illusion of freedom in this life, in this world. But we are not actually free. Some have suggested, and this is quite interesting, man is a slave to his own technology. And this is very pertinent in the modern world in which we live. We have all this technology. We have the internet. Is man in control of the internet, or is the internet in control of him? That's what we have to ask. We are, in a sense, enslaved to all of the technology around us. I remember, I think it was last year, all the computers failed. There was an IT failure in one of the hospitals, or perhaps in many of the hospitals. And because the IT had failed, nobody could do anything. There was no work that could be done. They weren't free. The doctors weren't free to continue their work. They had to stop. They were slaves to the machinery, to the computers, to the IT. We cannot cope. We cannot do anything without this. Man, he thinks he's free, but he's actually a slave to his own technology. No internet? Well, of course, there's so many things we can't do. And then, of course, well, there are so many other things. Peer pressure is another thing. Your friends. Are you really free, or do you just do what your friends tell you to do? Your company of friends. You wouldn't dare step out of line. Maybe there are some people, I've known people like this. They want to be Christian. They want to know God. They want to believe in the Bible. You know what stops them? Their friends. What will their friends say? My friends will all laugh at me. My friends will say this. They'll all abandon me. So actually, you're not really free to do what you want at all, are you? Because it's the opinion of your friends. I must please them. You're not really doing what you want to do. You're doing what the crowd wants you to do, what your friends want you to do. So freedom, dear friends, it's all an illusion. If you think you are free, well, this is a deception to you. And this is very tragic. You are not free at all. So what does it mean to actually be free? Well, in this passage, there is a very close connection between freedom and truth. You will have noticed it in verse 32, even of this chapter. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is so important. When I say this very often also, we live in a society where truth has been rejected in this world. to tell the truth, you may have noticed, is not very popular. In fact, some people say it's immoral. You shouldn't tell people the truth. You shouldn't be too honest. Don't tell people the truth. Just tell them what they want to hear. That is the only thing that is permissible in today's society. Just tell them what they want to hear. Even if it's not true, it doesn't matter. Just tell them what they want to hear. To speak the truth, well, there's something unkind about that. There's something immoral about that. That's how the world thinks nowadays. And many people will say we live in a post-truth society. But dear friends, to live in a post-truth society where there is no truth, that means that society is not free. Because to be free, according to the word of God, it's the truth that makes you free. You abandon truth, you only become more enslaved. This is the word of God. To live a lie is a form of slavery. To live under any kind of deception is a form of slavery. It's only the truth that sets us free. You must live in truth, dear friends. Christianity is about truth. It's on the side of truth, dear friends. This word of God is not political. And this is what I so often say to people. Is the Bible right wing or is it left wing? It's neither. It's on the side of truth. Political parties, they will always distort the truth because they have a bias. Left wing, right wing. We're neither. We are on the side of truth. That's what we love. What is real? What is true? What is honest? And what is the truth? Well, the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is a person. The truth is not just a concept or an idea. It is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He calls himself the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he declares in John chapter 14. He said to Pilate when he was stood before Pilate, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So it's no wonder that in today's society, in this post-truth society, Christ is rejected. It's no wonder that in this post-truth society, Christ is rejected because he is the truth. He is the truth. And so this is what we acknowledge. This is what we believe as Christians. Christ is the truth. But sadly, people will prefer to believe in a lie. Christ is truth. Christianity is the true religion. Christianity has had the greatest influence in history. Why? Because it's the truth. So many people have been truly changed, truly affected, truly saved. Why? Because it's the truth. Christianity, Christ, is the truth. And it's the truth about God. What is the truth about God? What is God like? God is holy. That's what we have to understand. First and foremost, God is holy, a holy God who hates sin, who will not tolerate sin. And what is the truth about man? Well, the truth about man is that we are not holy. The natural man in his natural state, is he right with God? No, he isn't. The truth is that we have a broken relationship with God because of our sin. That is the truth. We are not holy. And in fact, well, the Lord said, didn't he, that we are enslaved to our sins. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So the natural man is a servant of sin. He serves sin. If we have sinned, we are enslaved by our sins. You will all know that how difficult it is to resist temptation and how often we fall to our own desires and to our own passions and our own lusts, no matter how much we fight against it. There are things in our lives we simply cannot overcome. And why is that? Well, the Lord says, because we are servants to sin. Again, we think we are free to do what we want. It's actually our own sins that dominate us, that dictate what we do, dictate our behavior, what I want, my passions, my desires. I can't resist them. If I'm tempted, I will do what I am tempted to do. We are servants to sin. And that is a tragic feature of the natural man. And this is very bad, dear friends, because if we just do what we want to do, if we let our hearts lead us, well, it leads us into greater sin. Our hearts are sinful. It causes great damage to our souls. You give people freedom. I remember, just as a digression, I remember watching a documentary quite a long time ago now about a group of children, and it was sort of a social experiment. They were put in a house without any supervision, without any authority, so they can do whatever they want to do. And how did it end up? Did they do good things? Were they nice to each other? Did they do nice charitable things to each other? No, of course they didn't. They had freedom to do whatever they're going to do. What are they going to do? They're going to do bad things. They're going to scream and shout and kick each other and say horrible things to each other. You see, this is what happens when you give people freedom. Their freedom will only lead them further into sin. This is what we're seeing in this society. This society, well, there is a measure of freedom. What's happening? Are we getting better? Are we getting more charitable, more godly? Everything is sinking down and down. You give people freedom, there's only one way they will go. They're slaves to sin, dear friends. And this is the tragedy of the human state. You give man freedom. Any one of us, it's true for any one of us. You give us freedom to do whatever we want, we will only destroy our own souls, because we are slaves to sin. And then, of course, well, the wages of sin is death. Dear friends, I've only got a limited time, but I have to speak about this. How can anybody say they are truly free when death stands ahead of them? That great appointment with death. When you make plans for your life, and I know you've heard me say this many times, when you make plans for your life, you cannot make plans for hundreds of years into the future. You cannot say, I'm going to plan for the next 500 years. You're not free to do that, because death is ahead of you. You cannot say you're truly free when death stands ahead of us. Death itself is a slavery. Well, how can we overcome these things, dear friends? It is through Christ. To know him is to know everlasting life. This is a wonderful truth of the gospel of God's grace. Verse 34 again, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. The servant of sin, in other words, will not be in the house forever. In other words, his time is temporary. His time is only fleeting, and that's the state of everyone who believes not in the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of the unbeliever, the natural man, they will just live on this earth for 70-odd years, and then they will go. 70-odd years being a servant of sin, and then that's it. That's their life, done and dusted. But when we trust in the Son, look at the difference. In the Son we abide forever. That's what it means. The Son abideth ever. We have everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ because he has died for us. He has died for us. He has died our death. We are sinners, yes. We deserve to be punished for our sin, but Christ has died in our place as our substitute. He says to God the Father, Father, punish me instead of them, so that they may be forgiven. If Christ is condemned in your place, there is no more condemnation for you. This is what we believe in as Christians. I am a sinner, But I will not face the punishment for my sin. Christ, he has died for me. He has taken the punishment because he loved me and because he gave himself for me. And then we are set free. We are set free from sin. We are set free from death when you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is really what I want to say to you. If you want true freedom, it's by faith. It's by faith in Christ. It's not by any earthly means. It's not by petitioning the government, the local government, the houses of parliament. You'll never have true freedom in this life unless you turn to the Lord in faith. Freedom from your sin, freedom from death, freedom to know the Lord. You see, this is what true freedom is. Let me close with this. The world has the wrong idea of what freedom is. Freedom to the world is just doing what you want to do whenever you want to do it. And as I've already explained, that is not freedom. What is true freedom in the Bible? True freedom is doing what you ought to be doing. Having the freedom to do what you ought to be doing and to be who you ought to be. Who should we be? We ought to be reconciled to our God. That is why God created us, not to be separate from him, not to be servants to sin, but to be his servants, not to do our own will, but to do the will of God. That is freedom. That is why we are here. If we never do that, we will always be enslaved, because you've missed out on your true calling, what you really should be doing. You're doing all these other things that you're not meant to be doing. You don't even know what you're doing. So many people are lost, running from one thing to the other thing. Will this keep me happy? Will that keep me happy? It doesn't, dear friends. Understand the truth. The truth is, you will never find true joy, true peace in this world. That's not the truth. That's just a lie that the world makes up for you. You will never find true peace and joy in this world. You will only find it in Christ. Because in Christ there is true freedom. Freedom to be who you were created to be. Not to be a servant of sin, but to be a child of God, adopted into the family. That's what it means. The Son abideth ever. You're not simply a servant, you're part of the family. You're adopted into the household of God by faith. And that way you will know the love of God forever. Dear friends, do not be deceived by the lies of this world. Trust in the truth of the Son of God, the one who is God. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There is no freedom without the Lord.